Trendstorm.
Our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, either in a poll on our Facebook page, is South Yemen, the anti-Hadi takeover, focusing on the situation in South Yemen. The Aden-based Southern Transitional Council's armed wing of the Southern Resistance Forces issued an ultimatum to Yemeni President Hadi to change his government or risk being overthrown. The council has been struggling to restore the Cold War-era state of South Yemen's independence, which was lost after the country merged with North Yemen in 1990, in what some Southerners say became a grotesquely unfair relationship with its other half. The discord between the two sides hit a boiling point during the brief 1994 Civil War, when the South unsuccessfully sought to regain its sovereignty, but the separatist movement unexpectedly received a fresh wind in its sails a few years ago, after the ongoing Yemeni Civil War wreaked havoc in the North and prompted an international Saudi-led intervention there. The resultant destruction in the former lands of what was once called North Yemen and the stalemate between Houthi and coalition forces there convinced some Southerners that they could more easily pursue their independence dreams now that their rival half of the country has been turned into a de facto failed state. Furthermore, the country's internationally recognized government is based in the former South Yemeni capital of Aden, thus giving its people leverage in determining their future relationship to the nominally unified state. It's with this in mind that the resistance forces told President Hadi that he has until next week to sack his prime minister and the cabinet or face a de facto coup. The Southerners clearly want to flex their political muscles, and they reportedly have a foreign patron behind them too, the UAE. This Saudi ally is supposedly at odds with coalition leader Riyadh over their post-war vision for Yemen, with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman assumedly wanting to retain the state's unity, while his mentor, Abu Dhabi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed, is apparently in favor of redividing the two formerly independent countries along the lines of their pre-1990 border. The Transitional Council announced late last year that it wants to hold regional elections sometime in the future, and it's possible that this might present the only real solution to resolving South Yemen's political crisis. Moreover, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov held a press conference earlier this week with his Yemeni counterpart where he announced Moscow's willingness to mediate between the country's warring sides. And while this was initially assumed to mean Hadi and the Houthis, it might even come to include the resistance forces as well. So folks, what's happening in South Yemen isn't getting too much coverage across the world, but it's nonetheless so important, and that's why we're covering it this week. So our first guest on the program is Ms. Summer Ahmed. Summer is the South Yemeni activist and U.S.-based representative of the Southern Transitional Council.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Summer, how popular is the Southern Transitional Council and its independence cause in South Yemen? And what level of support would they receive if free and fair elections were held in the near future?
Well, the Southern Transitional Council came out of the Southern Movement. It enjoys majority of the support from the population in South Yemen. And if there were elections to happen in the near future, I could say they would take about 90% support.
Okay, yeah. Can I just ask you to elaborate a little bit more on why they're so popular? You threw out the figure of about 90%. I mean, what is it in the Southern Transitional Council's platform that attracts so many people to its cause?
As you know, South Yemen united with North Yemen in 1990. And right after unity, the government in Sana'a started implementing systematic political and economic marginalization. So the demands for independence started and then it grew until 2007, the Southern Movement was established. And after it was established, the government in Sana'a used brutal tactics to try to suppress it, but that backfired. So because those people that started the Southern movement than their mothers and their sisters and their kids and their brothers and their neighbors joined. Eventually, by 2015, it was the whole country that's calling for independence, except for a small percentage that's either Islamist, loyal to the Muslim Brotherhood, or pacifist. You know, they don't want to be involved at all. But the majority supports the Southern Transitional Council and is calling for independence. As a matter of fact, there was a poll done in 2010 to see the support for the Southern movement. And at that time, it was 70%. There hasn't been a poll since, but after the war in 2015, support has increased. So we estimate it to be around 90%.
Okay, so this brings me to my next question, Summer, and that's about the reaction that we can expect from the resistance forces and their civilian supporters if Hadi fails to comply with the ultimatum to change his government. So, Summer, what would happen in this case? I mean, would the objective be to topple him like was threatened, or to compel him into a political compromise? What do you think will occur?
Well, as the Southern resistance forces made it clear in the statement, the objective is not to topple Hadi, but to pressure him to replace the corrupt government that's currently in control, headed by Mr. Bendaghar. So if he doesn't comply, I think even though they don't advocate violence, the Southern resistance forces will have to probably take control of Southern institutions such as the refinery and the ports and anything that's generating income, because the issue currently is services. For over 2 years now, the capital, Aden, and the South as a whole doesn't have electricity, doesn't have water, health and education systems are dysfunctional, non-existent. So there are many, many complaints and the people are suffering. So the demand is at this point, and the reason they're calling for Hadi to replace his corrupt government that's currently in Aden is lack of services and the constant attacks that they're attacking Southerners. And Southerners view these tactics as punishment because they are calling for independence. So the main goal is not to topple Hadi, and the Southern Transitional Council has made it clear many times before that Hadi is the legitimate president, and we are his partners, and we will work with him and the Arab coalition to defeat the Houthis. So I know that there have been news reports that the Southern Transitional Council is trying to topple the legitimate president, and that's simply not true. They called for Hadi to replace the current corrupt government that's not providing any services. That's just lining their pockets while people starve. People haven't had their salaries in more than a year. So the situation is not as people view it. There's a lot of tension.
Yeah, thank you for setting the record straight on that, Summer. I mean, that's really appreciated by me and I'm sure by the rest of the audience. Now, because there's this simmering political crisis, if we can call it that, I mean, where it might even develop into such if President Hadi doesn't comply with what's being requested of him. Now, I want to talk about how we can resolve this. I mean, you mentioned that there might be hard power or soft power. One of the soft power solutions might be Russia playing a role, because Foreign Minister Lavrov expressed an interest in having his country mediate a political solution to the Yemeni civil war. Now, bearing in mind that the South Yemeni issue is once again rising to the surface, and this Cold War era state used to be a very strategic Soviet ally, Summer, what role could Moscow realistically play in settling the separatist aspect of this conflict in line with international law?
Well, first of all, we welcome Russia's interest in mediating an end to this bloody war, because Southerners, just like every other Yemeni, they want an end to this war today before tomorrow. So if Russia can mediate an end, that would be greatly appreciated. And we believe Russia would be an unbiased mediator. And probably the only mediator that understands the South, especially because South Yemen was a former Soviet state. It has history with Russia. Russia has history in South Yemen. And I think the most viable or the most effective thing Russia can do to solve the situation is bring in the Southern Transitional Council into the negotiation table. Because so far, Southerners have been sidelined. Every negotiation to try and end this war has sidelined Southerners. And that frustrates Southerners and continues the belief that the Hadi government is practicing or continuing the same policy as Saleh's government of marginalization, sidelining, and oppression.
Summer, thank you so much for enlightening our audience about South Yemen and the independence cause. This is something that is largely underreported in the mainstream media, yet nonetheless an ever-growing geopolitical issue. So thanks so much for discussing this with us.
Trendstorm.
Now we're going to switch over and speak to our next guest. That's Professor Dr. Bishara Ali Agal. Bishara is the Chief Executive Director of the Horn of Africa Center for Strategic and International Studies. Okay, Bishara, the UAE apparently backs the Southern Transitional Council, while Saudi Arabia stands behind the internationally recognized government of President Hadi. So what are the odds that these two GCC and coalition allies might end up having a falling out with one another over Yemen's post-war political future?
Well, as you said, you're right, Andrew, there is a political fissure within the two friends, the so-called friends of GCC. Saudi Arabia now is seen as a loser. Saudi are now seen as a loser, geostrategically, internally, externally, across within the family, royal family. The Emirates are trying to flex their muscle to be players in Somalia, in Eritrea, in even Sudan. They try in Egypt. So they're trying to show off. They have bought a lot of armaments from the States, from England. I think the game is now not a game against Assad Allah only or against Iran. It is a hidden war between the House of Saud and the House of Emirates, Al-Maktoum, or other guys.
Okay, Bishara, sounds like we have a simmering situation here with many dimensions, but I do see a glimmer of hope, if I can call it that, and it's that just the other day, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov offered to have his country mediate in the Yemeni civil war. He was speaking with his Yemeni counterpart at the time. Now, at the time, though, everyone assumed this would mean between Hadi and the Houthis, but this could potentially even be broadened to include the southern separatists and Hadi. So how do you think Russia can involve itself in this situation, and how could it leverage its diplomatic experience in Syria to help it craft a win-win solution for all stakeholders? What do you think?
And that's a good question. A lot of Yemenis were looking up. Look at the word that you use. Looking up like a big brother to Russia, to Putin. Most of them have a relationship, especially the South, with the former Soviet Union. Especially there were a lot of left-wing socialists under the former DDR, the People's Republic of Yemen, South Yemen. The aid will be a part so that of interest to the current Russia. At the same time, Hodeida should be likewise, since Hodeida was also built by the former Soviet Union. But the southern separatists can be enticed. Please take my word, Andrew, enticed by Moscow, by the Russian Foreign Service, and by Putin, to forego their separatists and think not of themselves but of the country. I think if Russia is there, that will be a good chemistry, and it will be a catalyst Yemen unification, and even Ansar Allah is prepared for Russia because Iran will be pushing them to go to that way. Because what is going on now, 11 to 12 million children are under starvation and malnutrition. The country is almost destroyed, especially in Sana'a area, or what they call the northern side of Sana'a, Nahlia, Amran, Sa'da, Al-Jawf, Zamar, eight provinces, starting from the Junub, from the part of the Red Sea, all of Hodeida, all the way to the tip of Sa'da on the border, is almost bombarded just like worse than Vietnam. And so they are really fed up. They are fed up. And if Moscow is involved, the Federals will come in from the cold, and the Emirates will get out of there. The Saudis are already losers. The Emirates are playing a loose game. They are what we call Johnny come late. They are really not only Johnny. They are despicable camel jacks who came late.
Bashar, thank you for speaking with us about the developing situation in South Yemen. And I especially liked how you touched upon the UAE-Saudi competition over resolving it. That was very informative. Thank you.
Trendstorm.
So, folks, if we think back on what both Summer and Bashar shared with us today, we can see that there are many passionate views on South Yemen. On the one hand, there are some legitimate arguments that can be made for supporting the independence of this formerly independent state. On the other hand, as Bashar mentioned, there are foreign actors involved in this who might have some ulterior motives. Now, how this is going to resolve itself? It really remains to be seen. Yemen is one of the main problems in the Middle East. It almost seems to be impossible to resolve. But if there's a glimmer of hope, we saw it last week when Mr. Lavrov offered to have Russia mediate. That might be what's needed to break this stalemate. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@spoonicnews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Krepko. Thank you for listening, and take care.